Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. One of Muncie's biggest annual conferences is back in town this week. Just wrapping up a week of training, concerts, and big fun for the 1,000 music students and teachers, it's the Music for All Summer Symposium at Ball State University. We talked with Fran Keck, who runs leadership training at the conference.
Music for All is here at Ball State University for the 39th annual event they call Summer Symposium. It's one of the largest summer camps in America for music students and band and orchestra. It actually starts with a leadership weekend experience for 2 days on Saturday and Sunday, and then a whole bunch of kids show up on Monday, and we just keep them all the way through till Saturday in various tracks. So there's concert bands, there's jazz bands, there's marching band, there's color guard and dancers, there are drum majors who conduct the bands during the fall, and it's a really neat comprehensive program for students. And then directors come as well to learn how they can teach and reach kids in a more constructive and positive way.
What kinds of things do the students get out of this?
One of the things that's interesting about this particular approach is that there are people in the world who teach music first, then students, and there are people who teach students first, then music. And most of the faculty here are very highly skilled at music, but they're also really good at dealing with kids. And so you're getting the best of both worlds, the finest musicians who have the best abilities to teach, sharing their nuggets of wisdom and insight with the kids on how can I go back to my program and help out that little clarinet player who's having a tough time? And what's the best way to play this piece of music and then communicate that with other people so they'll play it that way? And so there's always the motivation to teach the music and how to teach it as well.
You get some involvement with people from the Ball State faculty, I think.
That's right. The neat thing about the partnership we have here at Ball State is lots of the faculty from the music school are involved in what we do. And so they get to teach, and they also bring along graduate students and even some undergraduate students who help out, volunteer, pitch in, instructing, setting things up. And to be honest, the facilities here are world class. So lots of kids who come here, jaws drop when they enter a rehearsal facility or a performance venue, and they just are amazed that, wow, so this is what an auditorium is like. This is what a rehearsal hall is like.
How long has this been going on, and why Muncie?
Well, this is the 39th year for the Summer Symposium. It started as a workshop for marching bands specifically in Whitewater, Wisconsin, and then it just kind of grew to concert bands and jazz bands and orchestra. We then moved to Illinois State University for a few years and then moved here. And the benefit of being here is so just a neat way to collaborate with the faculty. And I believe this is the most collaborative site we've had in terms of faculty being involved with the programming on site throughout the week.
How's this changed in all these years? I mean, society has changed any number of different ways.
I think there's been an intentional growth in the area of leadership development and what I'll call the psychology of group dynamics, how we work together as an organization or a group of people. So whether that means an entire band or whether that means just my section of clarinets, how do we get people engaged in working together? Because unfortunately, we don't teach kids how to do that. And we assume that they get it on their own from other places that they no longer get on their own from other places. Because more and more youth activities are set up by adults, are organized by adults, are run by adults. And then we say to kids, okay, you're a leader, go. And they say, I've never done this before. There's always been someone else doing it for me. And so we really take the time every day with every section to give them a leadership team building type experience so they can bring that to life here and hopefully then take those lessons and apply them back home there.
There are other things going on besides practicing music.
Absolutely.
For the people here.
In fact, the music rehearsal is one part, but we always like to say on the faculty and the staff as we plan this, remember, it's not about the concerts at the end of the week. It's about the process of putting it together. And so we will intentionally select music for different ensembles that will help us teach them how to teach others, rather than just impress people at the end of the week with, look at how hard we worked and put this concert together. We want to take the time to show them different ways of rehearsing, different ways of organizing. They'll break down in small ensembles. They'll have an opportunity to work together. And it's all of the example situations that we can create for them here so they can go back and do them there.
And the leadership piece really fits into the mission of these groups, right?
Right. And if you do the math on the ratio of students to directors, there's 2, 3, 4 directors, if they're really, really lucky, with hundreds of kids in the band. And so you're really dependent on student leadership to organize things, to get all the mistakes kind of worked out and sectional and after school time. And
what do students get out of these activities, being involved in music and programming like this in school?
What's interesting about music and it, student involvement in it, is it's the one activity in school where you have to operate at a very high level of excellence for a long period of time. So if, let's say, you need a 90% to get an A-, that would be a pretty good grade on an academic report card. But if you played music missing 1 out of every 10 notes, we would not enjoy your concerts. And so we're talking about a much higher level of excellence, which the world is demanding from everyone in every area of life, especially in industry and in organizations. And in addition to that, it's an opportunity for kids to work with lots of their peers. And so where I could sit in a math class and just worry about myself, I can't do that if I'm sitting in an ensemble playing music. I have to be paying attention to what others are doing. I have to blend and balance. I have to be sensitive to who has the melody and who does not have the melody and how we can mix and be a part of a larger ensemble. So we spend a lot of time talking to students, not only in music rehearsal about listening and paying attention and responding appropriately, but we do the same thing in a team building activity. Are you listening to other people? Are you paying attention? Are you responding appropriately? And I think everyone would admit in our world today, we need more people paying attention, responding appropriately, listening to others, and getting involved in what's going on. And those same skills that are important in music are the same skills that will serve them well in life. Let there be music. Let it shine like the sun. Let there be music.
Everybody's got to have some fun. Fran Keck, who works with the Music for All Summer Symposium, finishing up at Ball State. It's a fascinating idea, music training that's about more than just getting the notes right. In some cases, it's helping instill a sense of teamwork and leadership among students whose lives otherwise are increasingly online.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
My name is Fran Kick. I am blessed to be responsible for all the leadership experiences that happen with the Music for All Summer Symposium, not only during the weekend experience, but also throughout the entire week. I have a background in educational psychology, taught in public school for years and at college, and now I travel around the country talking to kids and people that work with kids, junior high school, college ages, parents, teachers, counselors, professionals, sometimes people that hire kids, and how they can reach and teach kids in a more constructive and positive way.
How have the students changed in the past 20 years or so? I mean, we're very much online and connected, and they talk about people needing to unplug and get out into the world.
I think kids are different today because the world they're growing up in is vastly different. I mean, they have instant access to everything on the internet in the palm of their hand. That tends to reinforce a much shorter attention span mentality. Why should I commit something to memory when I can just look it up and figure it out for myself, and I don't have to go through the process of quote-unquote making music even means a different thing to most kids today? Because it's not about picking up an instrument and practicing for years and years and years. It's about downloading an MP3 file and putting it on my phone so that I can listen to it. So that delayed gratification in our world has shrunk drastically. We expect it instantaneously. We text someone something and they don't respond in a couple of minutes. We wonder what's going on. Hey, I already texted you. Couldn't you give me an answer back? And so music and the development of music through instruments and vocal ensembles is actually teaching kids something that they might need even more so in the future, to be able to sustain their attention on something for an extended period of time with a high level of excellence, working with lots of people. Where else do you learn that but in music in our schools?
Has this changed about how you offer your instruction, the kinds of exercises and programming that you do?
Yeah, I think in the past, people would be tolerant to sit and listen to someone speak for an extended period of time, or at least polite. Today, that might still be true with adults, as long as you have some slides that are colorful and pretty and you advance them a few times. But with kids, if they're not actually doing something physically, interacting, you will lose them very, very fast. And so as you experience this symposium throughout the week and what we do here, lots of the activities are interactive in nature, which kind of forces them by design to set the phone down and actually get involved in solving a problem or creating a solution or working with other people. And it sustains their attention for 30, 40, 50 minutes while they're trying to figure this out. And that might be a constructive skill to have too.
We're talking a lot these days about the importance in an educational setting, programs like music, and in your own experience as a teacher, have you seen students transformed by being involved in activities like this?
Yeah, it's always interesting coming to this kind of an event because the people who are here already know the power of music, and they have to have it. It's so important for them. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who don't experience that, and so music becomes a nice to have instead of a need to have. And so when you're looking at a school system or a corporation or a district and you say, well, isn't it nice we have a band or an orchestra or a choir? Then there are people who go, no, we need to have a band, an orchestra or a choir because that's what's teaching kids what they can't be taught anywhere else in our school.
I would think that the discipline of needing to rehearse and practice and hone your skills, that can have spillover benefits elsewhere.
Right. And what's so amazing is that can happen regardless of socioeconomic status. When we get kids with instruments and they figure out how they can start making music themselves, it also taps into that intrinsic drive that I can do this. And if I work at it, I get better. And the better I get, the more fun I have doing it. So I end up working at it harder and then I get even better and I have more fun. And that's that self-motivation that drives people to success. And if they can take the lesson they learned there in music and then apply it in business or in medicine or in communities or in families, that's a great lesson that comes to life outside the music world that they learned inside the music world.
Have music programs incorporated more popular cultural references into the repertoire to build in audiences or attract kids? Are we doing a Kanye?
A very wise teacher and conductor, Harry Beejan, once taught me that there are three parts of every performance. There are the students, so the performers, there's the composer, and then there's the audience. And if you forget any one of those, you will be in trouble. And so while at different times, in order to expose them to different types of literature, we'll play different things, but all three of those aspects need to be in play. So we remember the audience and the performers and the composer.
And there are some you've been doing this long enough where there are some special traditions around this. I know you have something called SWAG, and it seems to stand for something, but if you ask any of the SWAG members what it stands for, no, can't tell you. I mean, that's fun. I mean, there's things like that, though, right?
Yeah, the SWAG team is a very unique volunteer. Many of them pay to be here, give up salaries for a week and a half so they can come in early, get trained, help us out, execute the camp, and then clean up. And they are my personal superheroes in life because they've given so much of their time, their talent, and their treasure to make this possible in what we do. And it has become sort of almost a secret society in a very polite way where you can't describe it if you haven't been in it and you'd never understand it unless you were in it. But they have really come to understand that the best way for them to be inspired is to help inspire others. And so that's why many of them come back year after year after year after year.
Fran Kick, in charge of leadership experiences for the Music for All Summer Symposium, just wrapping up in Muncie. More information on the symposium at musicforall.org.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
The Music for All Summer Symposium, 1,000 music students and teachers from around the United States. They're headed back here next June, and Music for All has more Indiana programs coming up this fall with the Bands of America Championships in Indianapolis. And this year, while they've come from across the country, part of the focus is on a pair of Muncie schools. So even though you are 1,000 students from all over the country and staff and faculty from all over the country, including Ball State, this year especially, you have a connection with the Muncie community.
Yes, what's really unique is that the two schools in Muncie are merging next fall. And so we have reached out and kind of partnered with them and their band program so that many other student leaders could come on campus for the student leadership experience. And then I will go to start their band camp, which coincidentally happens right now. And we're going to kick them off and get them going for band camp so that they can bring together two completely different cultures, if you know the schools at all, into one cohesive community mecca, if you will. And it's interesting that when you look at schools that have done this across the country and combined, they found out that there are two things that make the biggest difference of whether it's going to be a successful combination or a stressful combination. And the first one is the music, because the band is one of the first groups on campus to start practicing and preparing for the upcoming season in the summer. The second group are the athletes who come together before school starts to start working together. And if you can get those two groups working together and collaborating and building some of that esprit de corps as a new combined school, the combination works so much more successful. And so we're excited to be partnering with the Muncie schools to have students not only here on campus, but to take some of our clinicians and bring them there. And many of their music faculty are going to be coming in and out of the sessions throughout the week with our directors as well, so they can learn how to improve what they're doing in their setting.
There's a lot of concern lately over funding for education in general. At risk are programs like music, arts. How aware is MFA, is Music for All, of this?
Music for All is about empowering the opportunity and the access of music education. And we also highlight folks that are doing it really well. And so over the years, they've done a great job of doing that in the performance setting, whether it's on the marching field or the concert stage or the jazz stage or the orchestra stage. And now they're starting to turn their attention to those support groups, those parents and those advocates, and the unique things that they do that make a world of difference, not only in their community, but with the students they're working with. Franklin High School from Tennessee is one example, where the band came to perform at the championships in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. And they had some free time, and so rather than let the kids go to the mall and hang out and shop, which is what they would do back home, they actually went to the Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. And not only did they come in their uniform, but they also brought in some capes that the hospital was doing to share with the students. And so every student brought a cape that the moms had sewn in the band back home. And one of the songs they played in the band was Superman, the theme from Superman. And so it was a perfect tie-in. And they actually shared some time with those students. And it was just an amazing experience, not only for the students in the children's hospital, but for the students in the band to realize that there's more to this than just playing a song on a field, that we need to reach out into our communities and make things happen. So Music for All is starting to acknowledge and advocate and put a, kind of shine a spotlight on the programs that are doing unique things in unique ways so that other schools can go, that's a good idea, I could do that too, and take the best of the best and replicate it regardless of socioeconomic status. The unfortunate reality is that many of the music programs in our country that can survive or succeed have a strong support booster parent organization that raise money and funds so that they can continue to do what they've done as the local school board continues to cut their budget. And so many of the programs, the teacher's salary will be covered, maybe some of the equipment will be covered, but the lion's share of the cost to do what they do is picked up by parents and the students who fundraise and sell things. And that's great. But in the communities where those fundraisers may not prove to be very effective or successful, it puts a real strain on resources. And then that limits access and availability in some of the areas that I would suggest we need more access and availability for those students to experience the power of music education.
And there might be some communities that just don't have the fundraising wherewithal, and so they're at a disadvantage.
Right, and I think it's not just in the music world. I think sports world would admit that too. Theater would admit it. Anything that is outside that core of classes that people, reading, writing, and math, and yet so many of those activities and courses that are co-curricular, let's say, nurture some of the skills and abilities that we truly need in a 21st century graduate. And so while we say we want to support the future and, you know, create lifelong learners, we're cutting the very thing that nurtures that along the way. And that might ironically kick us in the butt.
One of the benefits to all this is the a fellowship, and there are lifelong relationships that come out of students participating in these activities.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have band directors and orchestra directors here on campus that were actually students in high school that came here and had such a great experience that when they went to college, they came back for one summer to volunteer on our swag team. And now they're teaching somewhere in the country, and they're literally putting them on a bus and saying, no, this will be the greatest trip of your life. And so we had a bus full of students from Birmingham, Alabama. They came up through Atlanta, picked up some more kids, and came all the way to Muncie just so they could experience it. I'll be honest, that would have never happened if that band director hadn't had that experience as a little kid and had those relationships with all those people to say, this is so powerful. I'm going to make sure that we give you an opportunity to experience that too.
I take it you've got some good reaction from parents as well.
You know, we do this for students, and some parents will come and bring their students because they're close enough, right? And so they'll drive in, and they'll come to the opening session, and we'll share a few words with the parents. And we always invite every parent who has a student here, hey, if you want to see them at the end of the week because you're going to come pick them up, just come in a little early. We'll give you breakfast, and we'll share a few words with you, and then you can enjoy the concerts. And so it was interesting that one mom came up to me at the parent breakfast and said, I don't know what you did to my son while he was here, but he actually called me to make sure I was coming in early to listen to this opening session because somehow you changed his perspective on what it means to be a contributor, not just in band, but even at home. And so here was a kid who came to the camp one year, came back, and was asking his mom, hey, how can I help? What can I do to make a difference? And she was stopped in her tracks. So the second year that her son came to this camp, she made it a point to come to the breakfast to find out, what exactly did you do to these kids?
Fran Kick, in charge of leadership training for some of the 1,000 students and music teachers from across the country at the Music for All Summer Symposium at Ball State. Interesting thing about music programs, I've always noticed that the people who were in their high school marching band or orchestra or some of these programs, ask them about it, and it always sounds like some of the peak experiences of those high school years. I liked what Fran Kick said. Getting 90% right in school on a quiz usually means an A-, a pretty good score. But for a musician, getting 1 out of every 10 notes wrong would be a big problem. That need for precision, the demand for excellence, great training for young people heading out to a very demanding world. And that, friends, is our show for today. I'm Jodd Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. And Marcus, I'm sad to say this is your final show with us because you've moved on to other endeavors.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have, John. But I want to say it's been a great privilege to work with you, a real pleasure. And we've had a lot of fun times in the studio putting Indiana Weekend together. So thank you so much for all the good memories.
Thank you, sir. Just want to say thanks. When folks mention how good the show sounds, always tell them that's the Marcus touch. Thank you, my friend. We'll be back next week. Thanks, as always, for staying in touch. We're at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.